sleeping, thy presence my light. Be thou my wisdom, and thou my true word. I ever with thee, and thou with me, Lord. Thou my great Father, I thy true Son. Thou in me dwelling, and I with thee one. My King of heaven, my victory won, may I reach heaven's joys, O bright heaven's Son. Heart of my own heart, whatever befall, still be my vision, O ruler of all.
Welcome this morning to Truth Source, the Word of God, as we seek to discover sound biblical truth for today's world through the study of Scripture. This is Pastor Alan Morrison of Christ Range Church in Frederick County, Virginia, with today's message titled, Going Back to the Essentials. Today's message is from Galatians 1, 6 through 10. So let us open with prayer. Dear God, silence all voices within our minds but your own. Help us to seek and be able to follow your will. May our prayers be joined with those of our sisters and brothers in the faith, that together we may glorify your name and enjoy your fellowship forever. Just and true are your ways, King of the nation. Who will not fear you, Lord, and bring glory to your name? For you alone are holy. All nations will come and worship before you. All find protection under the shadow of your wings. We feast on the abundance you provide. You are the source of all life, and in your light we see light. Amen. So let us turn in our Bibles to Galatians 1 and starting at verse 6. I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another. But there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. For I do not persuade men or God. Or do I seek to please men? For if I still pleased men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. So we're now in November, and much to look forward to in a month on many excitements and changes. We have had our elections, and for many, we now have a chance for restoration. However you feel about the election, always remember that God is in control and Jesus is always King. We approach Thanksgiving and the wonder of the harvest and celebrate that our God has provided for us so very, very much. But are we truly thankful? So tomorrow is Veterans Day, and later we will speak more on the thankfulness we have for them. Now, at the end of October, we acknowledged Reformation Day and its impact on the Church of Jesus Christ. One brief message does not seem to be enough, and for the next 2 weeks, we will expand a little on what the Reformation really means to us in today's world. Many would argue that it was simply a moment in time with no real impact of note, or that it was all a mistake and needs to be corrected. We will spend more time to flesh out the Reformation and what it should say to us. Even the Roman Catholic Church had a Reformation after this. This was sometimes called the Counter-Reformation, also sometimes called the Catholic Revival, and it was the period of Catholic resurgence and was initiated in response to, and as an alternate to, the Protestant Reformations at that time. It is frequently dated to have begun with the Council of Trent around 1545 to 1563, and ended with the conclusion of the European Wars of Religion in 1648, though this is controversial. The broader term Catholic Reformation also encompasses reforms and movements within the Church in the periods immediately before Protestantism, or Trent, and then lasting much later. Initiated in part to challenge the Protestant Reformations, the Counter-Reformation was a comprehensive effort arising from the decrees of the Council of Trent. The effort produced apologetic and problematic documents, heresy, trials, anti-corruption efforts, spiritual movements, and promotion of new religious orders, and the flourishing of new art and musical styles. Such policy had long-lasting effects in European history, with exiles of Protestants continuing until the 1787 Patent of Toleration, although smaller expulsions took place in the 19th century. Such reforms included the foundation of seminaries for the proper training of priests in the spiritual life and the theological traditions of the Church, the reform of religious life by returning orders to their spiritual foundations, and new spiritual movements focusing on devotional life and a personal relationship with Christ, including the Spanish mystics and the French school of spirituality. It also involved political activities and used the regional inquisitions. A primary emphasis of the Counter-Reformation was a mission to reach parts of the world that had been colonized as predominantly Catholic, but also to try to reconvert nations such as Sweden and England, but that had been lost to the Reformation. Various Counter-Reformation theologians focused only on attacking doctrinal positions such as the sacraments and pious practices that were attacked by the Protestant reformers up to the Second Vatican Council in 1962-65. Such action by the Roman Church shows there was a need for some sort of reformation. They just simply chose a different route. And that brings us to our lesson today, which relies heavily on the message of Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones from 1960. The message lesson, the greatest lesson of the Protestant Reformation, is that the Church truly moves forward only by going constantly back. And that is what we wish to accomplish today, and we start by going back to 1960. In our previous message, we described a headlong retreat of the Church and society into spiritual conditions not seen since the Dark Ages before the Protestant Reformation. On that ground, some may question the statement that the Church truly moves forward only by constantly going back. But the truth of that statement lies in an understanding of what, for the Church, going back really means. One of the keynotes of the downhill plunge of the present-day visible Church is experimentation. And we cited in one of the worst examples at the beginning of this last article, but examples of all kinds abound. We can say without fear of biblical contradiction that all of them, without exception, constitute rebellion against Christ's great commission. Faith does not require human whims to be satisfied, but is best described by one of the great statements of the Reformation in Christ alone. If we decide we must reinvent church to meet some need, we are, in fact, in opposition of God and God's Word. If we place our focus on anything but Christ, we abandon the search for true faith. So as he continued his 1960 address titled Remembering the Reformation, Lloyd-Jones admitted that some will question the idea of going back to the Reformation as the way forward for the Church. And as he put it, many people say something like this, Why go back to the Reformation looking for answers for today's problems in church and society? Why don't you do what is being done everywhere else and in every other realm of life? There's an article in a supposedly evangelical weekly newspaper not long ago which said, "Why does the church stand still?" The man went on to say something like this, "I see in business and everywhere else that people are making experiments. They are employing the backroom boys and the experimenters. They are trying to discover new methods, new machinery, new everything. And why doesn't the church do this?" The church always seems to be looking back. They regard that as something which is wrong. By quoting this article, Lloyd-Jones knew he was far more foreseeing than many would ever imagine, since this is exactly what the evangelical church is doing in our day. The evangelical church has become the scene of experimentation on a grand scale. The purpose-driven church movement is based on the business management philosophy of Peter Drucker, who was not even a Christian. The emergent church movement embodies many aspects of dialectic theory found in Hegelian and Marxist philosophies and in many Eastern religions. The woke philosophy that now ensnares even many once sound churches springs from the same ungodly roots. Ironically, the emergent church movement, while seeing itself as cutting edge, points the church back into the Middle Ages before the Reformation, seeking to re-immerse it in mysticism. But all these movements have this in common with the man who wrote the article. So Dr. Lloyd-Jones quoted, "They view the church as one grand experiment, continually employing, as the writer put it, new methods, new machinery, new everything, to reinvent itself in order to be relevant to the society in which it exists." As we have seen in previous articles, both the purpose-driven and emergent church movements are also emphatically anti-reformational. They reject the Protestant Reformation as a tragedy and failure because it divided people into, as they see it, artificial doctrinal categories rather than uniting them as they seek to do under an umbrella of inclusion. Inclusion of everything, that is, except sound doctrine. Dr. Lloyd-Jones answered the advocates of turning the church into a great experimental laboratory in this way. Now, the answer to that, as I see it, can be put like this. I am not at all sure, but that the greatest of all the lessons which the Protestant Reformation has to teach us is just this. The secret of success in the realm of the church and the things of the Spirit is to go back. Lloyd-Jones reminded his audiences that dealing thus, in the realm of the church and of the things of the Spirit, requires gracious moving of the Holy Spirit and a return to the sole authority of Scripture. What happened in essence 500 years ago was that these men went back to the first century, they went back into the New Testament, they went back to the Bible. Suddenly they were awakened to this message and they just went back to it. There's nothing more interesting as one reads the stories of Luther and Calvin than to notice the way in which they kept on discovering that they had been rediscovering what Augustine had already discovered, which had been forgotten. Indeed, I suggest that perhaps the greatest of all the lessons of the Protestant Reformation is that the way of recovery is to always go back to the primitive pattern, to the origin, to the norm, and the standard which are to be found alone in the New Testament. That is exactly what happened 500 years ago. These men went back to the beginning. They tried to establish a church conforming to the New Testament pattern. So let us be guided by them as we look at this and try to garner certain lessons from them. And what do we find in the New Testament that was reclaimed and recovered at the time of the Reformation? First of all, we find the right basis for the church. We find it often in the form of warnings that the foundation was already being neglected and forgotten even in those early New Testament days. The church from the very beginning had to move forward by constantly going back. But I fear, lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Paul tells us from 2 Corinthians 11:3-4, "For if he who comes preaches another Jesus whom we have not preached, or if you receive a different spirit which you have not received, or a different gospel which you have not accepted, you actually may well put up with it. And then to our verse today from Galatians 1, 6-8. I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached before, let him be accursed. And finally from Colossians 2, 8-9. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. All of these passages are being ignored and hidden from the members of Christ's church as those who are false desire to lead you astray onto the wrong path. This is not just happening in some obscure churches, but is the main diet of most mainline evangelical and newer churches that have sprung up in the last 40 or so years. Remember, those who rule over you in the sense of the originals that you are their spiritual guides, the minister, the elders, the bishops, the priests, and a number of other titles in many churches, who have spoken the word of God to you, whose faith follow concerning the outcome of their conduct. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So from Hebrews 13, 7-9, do not be carried about by various and strange doctrines. The greatest lesson of the Reformation is, to put it in terms we have already used, that the Church of Jesus Christ must be a Scripture-driven church. No human invention can take the Bible's place or govern how we use the Word of God in the life and ministry of the church. The 21st century evangelical church must lay hold of that truth once again, and Christians need to pray for the gracious moving of the Holy Spirit that will bring it about. So Dr. Lloyd-Jones went on to speak of the Protestant reformers as men of deep and abiding conviction. I suppose that the most notable thing of all was the fact of the burning conviction that dwelt within them. That is what made them the men they were. What Lloyd-Jones is basically saying is that God gave us what we needed and nothing human provided, either 2,000 years ago or today, is needed if we turn to God's Word and the teachings of Jesus as our guide to salvation. There is no easy way, no get-rich-quick method of faith. Many seek only a way of entertainment and pleasure, and that is what the world already provides. The Reformers risked their lives, some lost them, to reset the message of the gospel that we might have a chance at personal salvation. These men faced danger and financial ruin, yet they still did what was on their hearts. Many had families separated and in fact lost all they held dear except the very Word of God that they had so recently discovered and then desired to share with the world. Without them, we would not have had the opportunity to truly find Christ. Let us live more like them and less like the world. When we see our public schools today and what they lack for our children, it reminds me of what I heard my parents say. We need to get back to the basics. Teaching children what is necessary for contributing to society as adults. Wasn't this what Lloyd-Jones is saying in his message about Christianity? That the religious leaders of that time neglected this very premise is what sparked the Reformation those 500 years ago. We have not learned our lessons well, as we as Christians are again drifting far away from God's original intent for how we are to worship Him rightly. There have been many splits and creations and new denominations over this, yet it only takes time until the new also drift away and many feel it's necessary to have a new reformation. Humanity is too self-absorbed to adhere to any strict doctrine for long, and that is Satan's plan. With Christ coming, either this Christmas celebration or in anticipation of His second coming, we all need to focus in the right place, that in our relationship with our Lord and our dedicating our lives to Him. Remember, there are no retests for that day in the clouds. So Veterans Day is a U.S. legal holiday dedicated to American veterans of all wars, and Veterans Day 2024 will occur on Monday, November 11th. That's tomorrow. In 1918, on the 11th hour, the 11th day of the 11th month, an armistice or temporary cessation of hostilities was declared between the Allied nations and Germany in World War I, then known as the Great War. Commemorated in many countries as Armistice Day the following year, November 11th became a federal holiday in the United States in 1938. In the aftermath of World War II and the Korean War, Armistice Day became known as Veterans Day. On November 11th, 1921, an unidentified American soldier killed in the war was buried at Arlington National Cemetery near Washington, D.C., in the tomb of the unknown soldier. On the same day the previous year, unidentified soldiers were laid to rest at Westminster Abbey in London and the Arc de Triomphe in Paris. So as we honor our veterans today and tomorrow, let us think about the sacrifices they all made that we might have life in peace today. I found this following poem. It's called The Silent Salute. In silent salute we stand in awe, a law of respect without flaw. Veterans to whom we owe so much, a touch of silence, a respectful clutch. Their service, a silent story of bravery, a knavery of danger, of grave knavery. On Veterans Day, a silent salute we give to live in the freedom they strove to give. Now, the silent salute mentioned in the poem is a powerful gesture of respect and gratitude towards veterans. One of the most iconic silent salutes is the tomb of the unknown soldier at Arlington Cemetery, where Centennials guard the tomb 24/7, honoring unknown U.S. service members who died without their remains being identified. This tomb and the soldiers who guard it represent the ultimate silent salute to the sacrifices of the military. When you relax this afternoon, take time to give thought for those men and women who serve our nation. Some came home, many did not. Many who did came home were forever changed, either physically or mentally. All gave some and some gave all. Honor their sacrifices and how you live for our world and nation today. Pay it forward for the next generation, that they might have the hope of a nation at peace and prosperity. Progress is an important aspect of life and is necessary that a society grows. But in which direction? Going back to the essentials is even more important. In our nation, do we adhere to the Constitution and natural law, or do we set them aside that people can live as they wish? In our faith, do we strive to adhere to God's word and will, or will each do as they please? One way will bring peace and prosperity, the other will eventually bring chaos. To adhere to our essentials, we must know them and where to find them. A strategic plan of Bible study and prayer is necessary. Amen. So let us pray. Dear God, silence all voices within our minds but your own. Help us to seek and be able to follow your will. May our prayers be joined with those of our sisters and brothers in the faith, that together we may glorify your name and enjoy your fellowship forever. Just and true are your ways, King of the nations. Who will not fear you, Lord, and bring glory to your name, for you alone are holy. All nations will come and worship before you. All find protection under the shadow of your wings. We feast on the abundance you provide. You are the source of all life, and in your light we see light. So let us close with our benediction. God of peace, we pray for those who have served our nation and laid down our lives to protect and defend freedom. We pray for those who have fought, whose spirits and bodies are scarred by war, whose nights are haunted by memories too painful in the light of day. We pray for those who serve us now, especially those in harm's way. Shield them from danger and bring them home. Turn the hearts and minds to our leaders and our enemies to work of justice and harvest of peace. May the peace you left us, the peace you gave us, the peace that sustains, the peace that saves us, Christ Jesus, hear us. Lord Jesus, hear our prayers. May the grace of Christ, which daily renews us, and the love of God, which enables us to love all, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, which unites us in one body, make us eager to obey the will of God until we meet again. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. So thank you for joining us today on the radio. If able, find a good church and worship with God's people. But we pray you will find God here as well. You can hear a message every Sunday morning at 8 a.m. on this radio station or join us in person at Christ Range Church at 11 for Truth Source, the Word of God. If you missed the message, go to www.talkwinchester.com, then Church Services tab, and then Christ Range. You can also find the videos of our messages on our website, This is from Christ Range Church, www.crpchurch.com.
My song, praising my Savior.